Rapids, and there are a number of you, and I love you, and I appreciate each and every one of you. When are you guys going to be out and about in Cedar Rapids? Well, the answer is January 25th, 2018. We are at Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. That's the address. Basically, take 42nd Street until it turns into Old Marion Road. Just east of Nelson's Meat Market, right behind Elmcrest Country Club. That's where we're at tonight. Half-price wings underway right now. As a matter of fact, bone-in or boneless. Plenty of sauce options for you as well. Big thank you to Mulligan's for having us out here. And who knows, we may be coming here for future KGYM road trips. Also want to say a big thank you to Mark Lillibridge for coming out and joining us today from Mantality. Thank you to him in the house. And he's going to be off to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis in a couple weeks. But we don't want to talk football right now, not when there's baseball to talk about. Right, Alex?
Right. I actually have something to add about Mark and the XFL as it pertains to somebody that I know.
Oh, wait. Is this a Tiger update?
No, this is
an
update.
No, this is. It's a Tiger update. A Memphis Tiger
yes,
update.
Yes, a Memphis Tiger
yeah,
update.
So, I had to explain it to my own co-host.
So Gabe took his running out of consideration to go to the XFL today, okay. Officially.
Alex's brother is not going to play in the XFL.
Because I remember you wanted to be his agent.
I did, and we were joking, hey, maybe the XFL can be an option.
And there is one person pumping his name to NFL teams, and it's none other than the person we had on at 5 o'clock. That was 4:30. Never mind.
I just want to know if one of the eight teams, if we can get it here in Cedar Rapids. But that's beside the point. I don't want to waste any more Ed's time. Ed is on the hold with us. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. And we're going to get to the Hall of Fame at some point, Ed. But before we scheduled you to talk about the Hall of Fame, and then, boom, your Milwaukee Brewers have to go out and turn the NL Central upside down. Christian Yelich in a Brewers uniform. What do you think?
It's an interesting deal for the Brewers. They get a young left-handed hitter who I think will find his power stroke in the very comfortable hitting confines of Miller Park. And the Brewers needed left-handed hitting. They addressed that somewhat last offseason, getting Travis Shaw and Eric Thames, and I think they add more to it now with Christian Yelich, but they gave up a haul. The Marlins, what they got in return for Christian Yelich was much better than they received in either the Stanton, Ozuna, or Gordon deal. So, with the what the Brewers gave up, two top 100 prospects and three of the team's top 10 prospects, they paid a big price to get Yelich for the next 5 years.
Now, Ed, I was talking about this right after I heard the news, and I think that everybody still agrees that the Chicago Cubs are the team to beat in the NL Central. And I know people are bringing up the fact that we haven't even gotten to really any free agent moves yet. But if you take the St. Louis Cardinals at face value and John Mozeliak saying that that they're content to go into 2018 with this team that they have right now, the Brewers are the biggest threat in the NL Central, are they not?
If they can get pitching, if their pitching can, if they can round out the rotation and tread water until Nelson comes back, and I think even when Nelson comes back, most likely in the second part of the season, is he going to be pitching like he was when he was hurt last year? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a little time to get him ramped up. So they really do need to round out the rotation. David Stern today, when he was meeting with the media, said it's still a possibility that they can make further moves. And it wouldn't surprise me. They still have a surplus of outfielders with Keon Broxton, Brett Phillips, and they've been shopping Domingo Santana. Would not surprise me if they package one or two of those three outfielders in an attempt to get a starting pitcher. I know Chris Archer says he feels safe in Tampa, but Stearns upped his offer in the last 24 hours to acquire Yelich. He may do the same thing for Archer. I think if they were going to make a deal for Archer, an outfielder would be in Brinson. I think Diaz would have been a nice fit as well. So they're kind of down a little bit on trade shifts. So, and now that this is the benchmark they made for Yelich. I think teams that are looking to trade young, controllable starting pitching will be looking for a similar deal for a pitcher. So I think the Brewers would like to swing a deal for a rotation piece. I'm not sure if they have enough of if they want to part with even more of their farm club depth. I know they've been linked to Darvish. I have a hard time thinking that the Brewers are going to offer a 5-year contract to a pitcher on the wrong side of 30 at $20, $25 million a year unless it has an opt-out. Now, if they do say they go after Darvish and they give him a 5-year deal with a 1-year opt-out, That could be a win-win for both sides. It'd be like a pillow contract for Darvish. He can go back in when the team's going to be more likely to spend in that outstanding free agent crop next winter. And the Brewers could only be on the hook for 1 year at $20, $25 million if Darvish pitches the way he's capable. So they may be creative in that way as well. So Stearns net rule out another deal before spring training, and I have a funny feeling there's another card or two up his sleeve.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com with us talking about Christian Yelich being traded from the Marlins to the Brewers. There are about, I'd say a dozen pretty big-name free agents that are hanging out there right now. And we've talked, sort of lamented the fact that the hot stove is anything but hot this offseason. When do you think we're going to see some movement on these guys? Pitchers and catchers report in about 3 weeks.
Well, you've seen a little bit of an uptick in the rumors surrounding Darvish. We've talked a little bit about him. There's reporting now that Lorenzo Cain has told teams who's in, who's out, and that he may be signing rather shortly. So I think that will kind of break the dam a little bit. I think with the starting rotation, you know, the pitchers like Darvish, Arrieta, Lance Lynn, and Alex Cobb, I think once Darvish signs, that will probably break that down. I think some teams are waiting for J.D. Martinez to sign, although I think it's pretty much Boston in a staring match with Scott Boras and J.D. Martinez, because I think they're really the only team that's in the bidding. And I think Boston does not want to bid against themselves. So I think other teams might be on the periphery, seeing if they can get a discount. But I think once Martinez signs, I think that'll break the logjam a little bit with the position players as well. So I think those are the two guys that are keeping their fingers in the dike right now.
Now, Ed, we've heard a lot of theories as to why this offseason has been so slow. So two factors that I've heard, which do you think is more at play here? Do you think teams are saving up for the next offseason's crop of free agents, or do you think that the owners are pushing back a little bit on these long-term, big-time contracts?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that there are teams that, let's be honest, this crop of free agents this winter is really subpar. Especially when you compare it to who's available next winter. So, yeah, I think there are some teams that are keeping their payroll space, their free agent spending, they want to save it for next year. But as far as the owners pushing back, I don't know if it's so much the owners pushing back, but I think this is the rise of analytics. I think now every team has their own algorithm. Some of them have their own algorithm, and I think they're producing similar numbers. You know, they have measurements now for surplus value in contracts. They have wins above replacement. So even if you have an Ivy League graduate running your GM, an old frazzled scout, you can both read the same numbers and see, is this free agent worth this kind of contract? Is this player who we're acquiring in a trade better than spending the money on the free agent market? And I think they're just seeing that the high-spending teams, take, for example, the Dodgers. The Dodgers have been spending the last 5 years at around $250 million. They haven't won a World Series in 3 decades. Take a look at the Yankees, another team that has high-spending payrolls. They haven't won a World Series since 2009, and that's their only one since their big run at the end of the 20th century. Boston's another team that has, you know, wants to get back under the luxury tax. San Francisco. So I think it's not so much the owners pushing back, it's just that they want to reset the luxury tax. Because you can say, I know there was a column recently say, hey, it's, you know, $11 million, $30 million for the Dodgers. That's, you know, chump change for them. But then again, you're taking a look at, that's a year of Jay Bruce. And you haven't won a World Series in 30 years. It's pretty idiotic to spending at this level when you're not seeing the ultimate return, and that's a World Series trophy. So I think the analytics, I think the subpar free agent market, and the teams are just looking for values now, and they're just finding more values in the trade market than they are in the free agency.
Is there a team or two that comes to mind as far as your initial thoughts that have had probably a really good offseason that have positioned themselves well heading into 2018?
There hasn't been a lot done that I think has really been substantial, to be honest with you. I know the Cardinals have been busy. They're acquiring Osuna. I just don't know if Osuna is the guy that you center our offense around. I think he's more of a Scottie Pippen than a Michael Jordan. And when Jordan retired, you saw how Pippen really didn't lead the Bulls to the promised land. I'm wondering if Osuna's that same way, because don't forget, he was flanking that outfield by both Yelich and Stanton, so he did not have to be the one to carry the team. And now he is. He's been the marquee acquisition for for the Cardinals, and he's going to be expected to be the face of that franchise and really the backbone of that offense. And it'll be interesting to see if he can step up to that. In fact, because they acquired Osuna, they shipped Alpha Scotty and Grichik. So there was a lot invested in Osuna, and it'll be interesting to see if he can actually step up to the plate. I think what we've seen more so, you know, Stanton, it will be interesting to see how that works out with Judge in the outfield. I know people are saying that the Red Sox and the Yankees are just going to be loaded for bear in the AL East, and that's why Toronto and Baltimore are kind of spinning their wheels, and Tampa's thinking about selling. They've already sold with Longoria, and even though, as we mentioned, Archer says he's been given indications he's not going anywhere, I think it just takes one team to come up with an outstanding package, and he'll be gone on the next flight. So the Brewers are interesting. We've talked to the NL Central is now up for grabs. And it's all going to come down to pitching in the NL Central. So let's wait for the free agent to see to really pan out. Like you said, there's a lot of players out there, and I think there could be some movement that can really change the fortune of some teams. It's really amazing their strength the front offices are having with their payroll this winter.
Ed, we haven't been able to ask you this since the Pittsburgh Pirates decided that they were going to trade Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen. But what kind of effect on Major League Baseball will there be with 10 plus teams in full tank mode this season?
Well, I don't know. I don't like the word tank because I don't think their teams are really doing that. You know, people were, because again, a year ago this time, we were talking about the Brewers being one of those that were tanking because they were in a full-on rebuild, and look how their season went. And I don't think Pittsburgh can really be criticized for what they did. I think it's going to be an interesting case study. If you take a look at Kansas City and you take a look at the Pirates, both small market teams, and they both had core players, core pieces of their franchise success nearing free agency. The Royals decided to hang on to him, Hosmer, Moustakas, and Kane. They decided to hang on to him, make that one last run, knowing that they would offer him the qualifying offers and get draft pick compensation. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, decided to trade their icons in McCutchen and Cole to get some prospects they can build for the next 5-6 years. So we saw what happened with Kansas City. Their attempt failed, and all they're getting back, I think, is basically 3 draft choices. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, it went for more of the quantity, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out over the next 2-3 years as far as what teams should do. Hang on to their core pieces and let them walk in free agency, or deal them with 1 or 2 years of control remaining and restock the franchise. We even talked about Atlanta last year would probably be tanking, and look, I think they've had a strong season with the prospects coming up. So tanking is hard to tell because there are so many other things that can be in there, injuries, bad performance. So I don't think anybody in professional sports ever goes in and say, hey, we're going to tank this. I think when we take a look at how the Cubs and the Astros built their franchises by consecutive seasons of 100 lost seasons and the draft picks they receive, I think that's fed into the tanking. But I don't like that word. I just think it's we're just seeing a discrepancy between teams that are able to spend and teams that aren't. And teams have to be a lot more creative in how they structure their payroll. And I think that's another reason why we've seen the free agent market cool as it is, because teams are realizing, you know, we have to be smart in how we acquire players, whether it be internationally, free agent, or trade, and build a smart roster that can compete not just for the next year, but for the next 3 or 4. So I just disagree with the notion of tanking.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Let's get to the real reason we were going to have you on today, and that's to talk about yesterday's Hall of Fame announcement. 4 guys going in along with Alan Trammell and Jack Morris. And when you look at the class of 2018 this summer in Cooperstown, 4 guys who have pretty impressive resumes.
Yeah, all the way down. What I'm probably the most ecstatic about is Trevor Hoffman. And he was the one who had the smallest margin of victory of the 4. I just think relief pitchers are underrepresented in the Hall. And I think with Hoffman this year, Rivera next year, I think those are going to be great things. I think the save total, I know some people nitpick on saves, but when you have 600 saves over a career, I think that's pretty damn impressive, especially playing for the losing teams that he's played in his career between the Padres and Brewers. Chipper Jones, so the stat that just bowls me over for him, that he's a switch hitter who hit over 300 from both sides of the plate. In this era of platoon splits, seeing how steady Chipper Jones was on both sides of the plate, I think is really amazing. Jim Thome, just salt of the earth, wonderful man, wonderful clubhouse president, and just a solid throwback player who was just well rewarded for a 25-year career. And then Vlad Guerrero, who's going to be the first player in the Hall to don the Angels cap. Again, just a fantastic player throughout his career, both offensively and defensively. Great on the base pass. So it's hard to judge players that you grew up watching and seeing them as far as a historical comparison. But when you take a step back and just take a look at the numbers, each of these four players have amassed over their careers, tremendously deserving honor for each and every one of the four.
Conversely, you look 56-57% of the vote, well short of the 75% needed. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens on the outside looking in again this year. Their sixth year on the ballot. When are these guys eventually going to be allowed to enter Cooperstown? Because I think it's not a question of if, but when.
I don't think it's going to be through the sports writers. I just don't see it. I do see there is a movement, slowly but surely, that they're becoming more accepting of the steroids. But I just think that's a big jump to gain that acceptance of 75% of the electorate of the baseball writers to gain entrance. I think if they are going to be entered into the Hall of Fame, it's probably going to have to be on these the veteran committees or the modern day era committees or whatever they call them these days that meet once a player is off the 15-year ballot. I just do not see the baseball writers voting them in while they're still eligible. And to be honest with you, if I had a vote, I would not vote for either one of them because of their the steroid use.
Edgar Martinez, just 5% of the vote away from getting into the Hall of Fame. Where do you fall on the Edgar Martinez argument? Some don't think a designated hitter should get in the Hall of Fame. A lot of people do. It looks like there's a push for his votes keep going up year after year. Does he get in next year?
I think usually the rule of thumb historically is if you're within the 5%, you're usually going to be in next year. But I think you're right. I think his numbers offensively are outstanding, but I think his all-around game is being questioned because he was a designated hitter. Now, having said that, that's not going to be a case for David Ortiz. As soon as he becomes eligible, they'll be whisking him in on a red carpet on the first ballot. But for Martinez to break that barrier of a primary DH only, getting into the Hall is going to be interesting, and I think because he's getting so close, I think there'll be a big push for him like there was for Trevor Hoffman this year. So I think if Martinez does get in, he'll probably just scoot over the 75% margin, like kind of like where Hoffman was in that 76-77% range. But I think if he's this close this year, he should be over the hump next year.
One last question before we let you go. 2019 first-timers on the belt. You got Mariano Rivera, Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte. I see Mariano Rivera as a mortal lock and Roy Halladay getting in next year. Anybody else you think will get the call?
I think those are two pretty good ones. It'll be interesting to see whether or not Halliday's memory takes a hit from the autopsy reports of his plane crash, of the drugs that he had in his system. I wonder if that will have any effect or if they'll just remember how he performed on the field and his gutty performances. But I think... based on just their performances on the field, I think those are probably going to be the two locks for next year, Rivera and Halladay.
Ed, we appreciate it as always, and I would guess that if it meant the Brewers making a big acquisition, you'd agree to join the program more often. But we'll touch base with you a little bit.
I guess that's what you're going to do. Kyle's going to have to call me more often close to spring training because it's amazing. He calls me, and then a couple hours later, boom, big trade. So maybe Kyle in a couple of weeks, and J.D. Martinez will sign somewhere.
Well, we'll chat with you in maybe 3 weeks when pitchers and catchers start reporting to Florida and Arizona. Appreciate it as always, Ed. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, his first time with us here in 2018. And there's no other way to put this to you, folks, if you've listened to KGYM Radio for a while. Something is going to happen in about 6 or 7 minutes on these very airwaves, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids.
Yet.
There will be a reunion of the APC. And that's all I'm going to say right now. It's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to it before we got some other stuff that we need to do. KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. We are out and about at Mulligan's Pub in Cedar Rapids, 1060 Old Marion Road, an APC reunion. Yep, it's coming up in just a few minutes. Stop on in, though. Mulligan's half-price wings underway right now at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road, as we mentioned, east of Nelson's Meat Market, right behind Elmcrest Country Club. We're going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and then final 30 minutes of the program tonight. I want to be very clear. I have nothing to do with this. I don't want this on my permanent driving record. Back with more after this.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Oh, we're never talking to Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com on this program again, because according to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the Brewers are in agreement with free agent outfielder Lorenzo Cain. The deal is pending a physical.
No way.
Yep. So there
Didn't
you go.
Did this happen last time we had Ed Creech on? Something, news broke like hours after we knew we were going to have him on.
Brewers fans, you picked up Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain in the outfield along with Ryan Braun. Presumably now you look at maybe dealing Domingo Santana or a couple other pieces to shore up your pitching staff, but pretty big day.
And you can thank Ed Creech.
The Milwaukee Brewers. There you go. Thanks a lot, Ed. Let's send it back to the southwest side of town. Kyle's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
It was reported today by the Land of 10 Scott Docterman that Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey signed an extension last November, and the details should stop any talk of McCaffrey being fired. A buyout after the season would cost the school $10.2 million, with roughly $1 million decreases through 2023. Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year by Perfect Game today. He started all 61 games last season and hit .319 and was top 10 in the Big Ten in five different offensive categories. Perfect Game also named both Nystrom and JUCO transfer Brady Shanuel to the All-Conference team and picked the Hawkeyes to finish third behind Indiana and Nebraska. The UNI men beat Illinois State 83-72 to get back over 500 on the season, led by Isaiah Brown with 20 points and Bennett Cook with 17. They moved to 3-6 in the MVC, four games back with nine games remaining. The Iowa State women went on the road and upset number 19 Oklahoma State 78-69. Down 10 at halftime, Bridget Carlton exploded for 39 points in the comeback victory. The Hawkeye women will be trying to end a three-game skid tonight, hosting number 12 Ohio State. It'll be a matchup between probably the top two candidates for Big Ten Player of the Year, as the Buckeyes' Kelsey Mitchell is the league's leading scorer at almost 25 per game, while Megan Gustafson is second in scoring and first in rebounding. That game tips at 7. And tonight after the show, we'll have a Pac-12 matchup with Colorado traveling to number 11 Arizona. We'll pick up coverage at 7:15 before they tip off at 7:30, and you can hear it on 106.3 FM the South Gym or 107.5 FM the North Gym.
Chris Emma of 670 The Score has tweeted that in the span of 83 minutes, the Brewers have added 8.6 wins to their outfield, according to Fangraphs, wins above replacement.
Again, there's a lot of free agents out there. You don't know what the landscape is going to look like once the games actually start to count in April, but the Brewers, you got to tip your cap to the management team up there for making a couple deals today, one a trade and one a free agent signing. They've got exponentially better in the last 24 hours. 6:29, here's what's happening. Many, many moons ago on KGYM, there was a program. I was a part of it. It was called the Afternoon Players Club. We like to refer to it as the APC. It broke up when one half of the APC took a new job. Well, this is not anything that we had scheduled tonight. It's completely out of the blue. It's completely organic. Many of you enjoyed that program. Many of you enjoyed the interaction between me and my former co-host. And in just a few minutes, he's going to return to the airwaves here on KGYM in the 4 to 7 time slot. It's an impromptu APC reunion, as dictated by management. And it's coming up next. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing after this with Tyler Ryder.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour, honestly, is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. It's crazy. It's impossible. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer.
You don't have to put up with it anymore. Get a Zipa. It's so easy, and when you do, the snoring is gone.
Go to the Zipa website. You'll see hundreds of five-star reviews, even a news story about snoring devices, with Zipa being the only one that worked. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Don't be fooled by the knockoffs. Zipa's the only one with a patented tongue band. Go to ZYPPAH.com and get a Zipa. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
6:32, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex. So you do know that's what it's called now, right? Is that the APC anymore?
I am very aware of what your show is called now.
Okay. What's up? We told everybody what was going on.
You have the floor.
What'd you say to him?
Oh, we told everybody that it was an APC reunion.
Yeah.
Normally you get this stuff weeks and weeks of buildup.
Yeah.
Right? For ratings?
Yeah.
Now we just roll it out.
Yeah, that's what you do.
For the moment.
Just kick that carpet, yeah. Open the door, and say, here's the guest.
What's up, brother? Do you have any recall of what segment used to take place on Thursday? On the APC, started with a W.
Yeah, it's called Woodja.
Yeah, yep. You're killing Woodja right now.
We're punting on Woodja.
See, I'm so used to doing it daily in Knoxville, and I can't stand it, so I'm glad we actually can bury it.
Every day?
Oh, dude, don't even get me started. Look, I'm getting ready to go into radio jargon and lingo, and the people, your listeners, don't even care, A, that I'm on your program, and B, that I'm going to do this. But let's just say, you know how we have this thing called a consultant here in Cedar Rapids who tells us what we should do? I hope he's not listening back in Knoxville, and why would we? But apparently our consultant thinks that Woodge is a good idea to do daily. And I just want to beat my head against the wall.
Yeah, you hear that, Todd?
Yeah, I'm the one. That was my my bit was always being the one who disliked Woodja. Tyler Ryder is with us, and back in town, you're heading over to Ames in a couple days to Hilton Coliseum for the SEC Big 12. Is it a showdown or a challenge?
I don't know.
It's kind of like the Big Ten ACC challenge.
That's exactly
no one ever knows what it is, but Tennessee. Headed to, they beat Vanderbilt the other night?
They did. They almost let it, as my co-host Todd Brommelkamp used to say, they almost let it down their leg. I carried that one over, but they found a way to survive.
Top 25 ranking.
Dude, and they were predicted to finish 13 out of 14 in the SEC.
Rick Barnes, getting it done.
What can I say about Rick Barnes? The guy has come to Knoxville. He has weeded out all the bad guys, and then what he has done is...
It's like Vince McMahon.
He has... you want to talk about stories of the day? When I was battling for elbow room on the plane from Chicago to Cedar Rapids, I was reading that XFL story, and that's incredible. Because I was such a big XFL guy, not to get off the topic, and we've talked about this 100 times. I was a huge XFL guy, and the fact that it only lasted one season actually broke my heart.
You know, they're probably going to be looking for some play-by-play guys.
Well, I heard so I hope throw Matt Vaskersian is still available. Is by the way,
Matt Vaskersian's doing ESPN. He's doing Sunday nights.
With A-Rod and Jessica Mendoza. Yeah. That is I'm actually a big fan of Matt Vaskersian. I've always been, so good for him on ESPN.
So you are headed over to cover Iowa State and Tennessee on Saturday, right?
It is a 4 o'clock tip-off Saturday.
So you're back in town for about 36 hours. I know BJ from Marion is here. You're hanging out with us here on the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. What else does Tyler Ryder do when he parachutes into Cedar Rapids for 36 hours?
I'm going to be 110% honest with you. So when I sat down with the university and they were talking about who was going to go out and who was going to cover this game, there was really no question about who was going to do it. They called me in and they said, look, here's the deal. We know that you have a background in Iowa, so we're just going to send you out there. And they said, so where should we send you, Des Moines? And I said, no, you can just book my flight through Eastern Iowa Airport. And the guy from the Vol Network looks at me and goes, forgive my stupidity here, but isn't Iowa State Names, which is closer? And he stopped himself and goes, you just want us to book you a flight in Eastern Iowa so you can go back and hang out with all your old coworkers. And I looked him right in the face and I said, you're 100% accurate. So are we going to do this or what? And 5 weeks later, here I am flying in earlier today. And who was I greeted? As soon as I walked out of security, there's a Herky statue. And it's too cool to be back in Iowa. It really is.
Well, literally, it's, what, 20 degrees outside, right?
It's actually colder in East Tennessee than it is right now in Midwest. Yeah.
Well, I find that hard to believe. But for those of you who are listening and you may not know, Tyler's on in the mornings in Knoxville, WNML. I believe it's the sports animal.
It is.
I believe you're on the air with a young woman by the name of Heather Harrington. And I believe the name of the show is The First Quarter.
That is all accurate.
All right. So there you go. What else is new?
You know what, my man?
Diet is working out well. You're sticking to the diet.
Not clear. The diet ribs aren't working like they were supposed
diet
to.
Ribs.
Diet ribs.
Diet
ribs
like was a concept. A concept that we brought to the airwaves here.
Look, I'm gonna be 100% honest. You know, it was for 4.5 years. I got to come to Iowa, live here, and I got a chance to be a part of a program that was just. It was so cool every day to see how we could put our show together and to see it kind of like be born on the air. And we never knew what we were going to get because callers always wanted to put it in a different direction. But I have the KGYM radio app, and I know this doesn't work well in radio, but just to prove it, I have it actually as on my front home screen. So I listen to it on the regular. And I'm going to tell you, man, Coon, you're knocking it out of the park. TB, let's put it like this. When you go back to Knoxville and you change co-host and you try to find that chemistry with somebody, and it's very rare that you can actually find a chemistry where you can, let's say you're blindfolded. Do you remember watching the NBA and there were just those times where Jordan and Pippen knew how they were going to work, how Kobe and Shaq were going to work? You know, it's very rare that you find chemistry where both of the co-hosts know where they're going, they know how to finish segments, and it just... It's rare. And, you know, Todd and I had that, and I'm still trying to find that, I guess, with my co-host now. And it's awesome listening back to the Cedar Rapids. It's awesome listening back to you guys here in Cedar Rapids and what you guys are doing with this 4-7 to shift. It's too cool, and I listen to you guys on the regular.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but I got to ask a question that has just been bothering
me. How long have you known me, Coop?
I'm
an open book. That got me in trouble a lot here in Iowa.
Heading back to East Tennessee, what was it like being on the air during the Tennessee football coaching
absolutely
search?
Awful. It really was absolutely awful. The phone lines, there was never a moment where they did not ring, but there were people out there that were just wanting a moment just to spit venom. Tennessee was the running punchline every day, much like they are even today. It just, you don't understand. I mean, like, there was one time, true story, Cliff Notes, in the grocery store after midnight buying cereal, a guy puts two and two together who I
Cinnamon
am.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yes, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Two
wow.
boxes. And
see how many APC recalls we can squeeze into 20 minutes here.
And the guy actually wanted to talk to me all the way to my car and disagree with me on a point. And I thought I was actually going to be fighting a listener after midnight, and we have a chain brand of grocery stores in East Tennessee called Food City. I really thought I was going to slug with a listener in a Food City parking lot after midnight because he wasn't a fan of the rumors that Mike Leach might be leaving Washington State for Knoxville.
Let me ask you this. How does George and Pigeon Forge handle the news that John Gruden comes back to the coaching ranks with the Raiders after all of the quote-unquote groomers, and he's not going to Tennessee, he's not leaving the booth. What's the reaction been like in Tennessee now that John Gruden's getting back into coaching?
George and Pigeon Forge believes until he actually sees them on the sidelines either in Oakland or Las Vegas that he's going to be in Knoxville coaching the University of Tennessee.
Is George and Pigeon Forge anything like Phyllis?
Something to similar, except George goes to Dollywood a lot at Dollywood Splash Country, and he makes sure that he brings his Coca-Cola can to get $5 off when he goes through the turnstiles.
So I know you're probably going to be hunkering down to watch the Golden Knights in the Isles at some point tonight. So while we have you here, there is a big story that took place yesterday that you most likely, had you still been here on the air with us, would have had an opinion about.
I would, yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw it your way. Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer.
Chipper Jones.
Did you see the back news of the New York Daily News?
Go to Hall, Larry.
This
is with your wife sitting just feet away from me, who's a huge Chipper Jones fan. I can describe Chipper Jones as a Mets fan simply as this. There's a difference between a nemesis and an arch enemy. A nemesis, if your nemesis picked up the telephone and said, hey, meet me out for a cocktail, and he bought you your favorite cocktail and put it in your hand, you would do it because you honor that guy for what he was and the talent he was. Outside of all the hatred, outside of all of the venom that was spit between the two franchises, you still respect what he did on and off the field. Arch enemy, on the other hand, you wouldn't do that to the point you're setting me up for. I would never go out with a Phillies fan. I would never hang out and talk about what Ryan Howard did in his MVP year. Good for Chipper Jones. And it's even better. We were talking about this earlier today, actually, on the morning show back in Knoxville. Chipper Jones has received the 10th most votes ever in Hall of Fame history. Only four other players have spent their entire career with one franchise, excluding Chipper Jones. Those other four guys that were ahead of Chipper who received more votes their first go-around in the Hall of Fame.
Ripken would have to be one of them.
Tony Gwynn. And George Brett. And that, actually, no, I guess it would be Chipper would be including the four, so I misspoke there for a moment. But Gwynn, Brett, and Ripken. So the fact that he did it all with the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves at any time could have dealt him to the American League as a DH. It's Larry Wayne Jones. It's Chipper. Look, the guy made his debut. The guy was a stud. I would even argue to say this, that he was probably the greatest switch hitter I saw in my time. He was the Mickey Mantle of my time, just from a switch hitting standpoint. I know Mantle with the Yankees, we can get into a whole other segment.
Mickey Mantle, Chipper Jones' dad's favorite player of all time.
There you go. In my opinion, that's even with Carlos Beltran, a former Met, I still think Chipper Jones is the greatest switch hitter I ever saw.
So there are so many, a number of ways that we could go with this here.
Can I just say quickly, I didn't want to do this. I just wanted to stop by and see my old co-host and see you, Coon, and just share a beer with you guys before you walked out. But Rob Norton, man, the guy always wants to. So I just I would have
put a little bit more time between going off the air and the reunion show myself.
Yeah.
Let some of the nostalgia age a little bit.
Can I just say something real quick?
8 months is a long time
in
radio.
Has it been 8 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
You look good. You look good, brother. I don't know what you're doing, but
I'm not going to lunch with you every day.
Dude, Mondays with, what was her name?
Lisa.
Monday was with Lisa, that was so good.
About 1,800 calories at lunch.
The two highlights of today was passing by a former place where Todd and I used to go to eat and walking into the studio today and seeing Kyle Mann and saying, Deli, Deli.
Deli, Deli. Let me. 1,200 says hi on the Hurricane and Stalker text line, by the way. One other texter.
Hey, 1,200.
One other texter who reached out, 2272 on the Hertin and Stocker text line. You remember 2272 wants to know how Murphy's doing.
That's actually very...
How's Murphy handling the move back to East Tennessee?
He is actually... It's very kind for he or she to ask, actually, now that I think of the number, for he to ask. Murphy's doing very, very well. He is still a little bit of a brat. He doesn't understand why Daddy gets up every morning at 2:45. He doesn't understand.
2:45. Is that getting easier?
No. It never does. Try walking into a building at 4 a.m. every morning where you're the first person there and you see the sunrise over your co-host's shoulder while you're trying to argue with somebody from Pigeon Forge about why somebody from Alabama can't come in and immediately steal recruits away from the defending national champions.
How do people at in Pigeon Forge have that much energy at that point in the morning?
You know what?
Although you said midnight in a grocery store parking lot, so
they're always
24/7.
Well, let's get to another bot. This is I feel like Maury Povich here on the Maury Show. 52:32 on the text line, and I haven't. He's been Tyler Ryder the entire time on the air tonight, but 52:32 says, "Who is this Tyler Ivins guy on the radio? What has he done with Tyler Ryder?"
Well, are we going to pull back the high school play curtain on this?
Well, I mean, we pretty much did when you moved and changed the Twitter handle and everybody was like, where did he go? And you have to direct and say, hey, there he is.
I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. My real name is Tyler Ivins. That's my government-born name. When I first came to Cedar Rapids, for those of you who do not recall, I was on Z102.9, our sister station, the top 40 station, and Greg Runyon and Rob Norton and myself got together and decided that my old radio name or my real name would not work. So I actually had 1 week's time to figure out what my new radio name was going to be. And up until 10 minutes before I was set to take the air for the first time, I forgot that I had to figure out what my name was or come up with a stage name, a talent name. Where I got Tyler Ryder from, and this is 100% the honest-to-God truth, and the two gentlemen who I'm looking at right now here at Mulligan's will back this up. The reason why my last name on the air was Ryder, because that was the name of the moving truck that the company brought me from Tennessee in.
That's actually interesting, because before I knew that story, I was going to ask you one day if your family had any stake in that company.
No, it's funny. The running joke off the air in the hallways were, thank goodness you didn't move here in a U-Haul. So my real last name is Ivins. A lot of you have learned that. I enjoy still going back and forth with a lot of you on social media under my real name. And I'll let you know right now, you know, some people might actually find this hard to believe because I actually cover my alma mater full time now for a living.
I just thought you had monogrammed clothing now. With the,
exactly. Yeah. There wasn't an Iowa football game, and there hasn't been an Iowa basketball game I haven't missed this year. All the way from the Wyoming contest with Josh Allen at the beginning of the year, all the way to Iowa just absolutely taking Wisconsin to the woodshed. So it's the last I've stayed up with Kirk Ferentz. Good on them in the Bronx. Great on them beating up on Boston College. I was actually hoping to get some stories from Todd about going to the Bronx. And you know what? It's always good for the Hawkeyes when they beat Wisconsin. 4.5 years covering this team. I despise Wisconsin now, so good on you, Hawkeye fans, for helping me out with that. And to watch them be able to just lay the wood to them was
I rode
solid.
I rode the 6 train.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
And didn't get peed on. So the trip to New York City.
Did you see John?
Trip to New York
City.
Last
name
Rocker.
Was he up there doing John
Rocker? That's a 7 train, right?
Right, but he likes to jump around and ask who speaks English every once in a while.
It was fun. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find a recipe for Hershey pie at any of the places that we ate.
Rest in peace.
Ate while we were out there.
And but, Eileen.
I'm supposed to tell you, by the way, 52:32 says Glenn loves you and thinks about you often.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm glad to see Glenn isn't having to ask permission to use the telephone. Hopefully Glenn is learning what Uber is. Good to hear that he's doing well, Glenn.
And 7385 wants to know which show you enjoy being involved with the most. I don't know whether that's if we're pitting the APC against this show or if we're pitting the APC against your current show, but just in case Joel or Heather or someone else back in East Tennessee is listening, we don't want to play favorites.
I've currently been on my morning show in Knoxville for 8 months. I was on the Afternoon Players Club for over 4 years. I'll go back to what I said when I put a headset on today. There's just some people that you get under center and a quarterback knows who his favorite target is, and there's just some people you do radio with and they just get it. This is a business where, yeah, every day we have to come into a building and we have to put together however long the show is, a 2-3-4 hour program, and make it interesting and better than it was the day before. You know what? I don't care. Some people get it. If they are listening, some people get it and some people don't get it. And my time here in Iowa, the people in the building that I shared the studio with, they got it.
I can't. By the way, you should have been here yesterday. It was the 11th anniversary of the gym class.
Really?
You can only imagine how we celebrated. I can't think of a better way to bring this to an end.
Yeah.
Than to read the last text that we just got from Anthony and Marion.
My boy Anthony and Marion.
Just tuned back in. Why is Tyler in town? I know you would appreciate hearing from one of the regular texters.
Anthony, Tennessee is playing Iowa State in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and I am heading over to Ames in the next couple of hours, actually, to shack up for the next couple of days and cover that game before I have to go back on Sunday. But, look, I wasn't going to miss an opportunity to talk to Kuhn about his brother, talk to Todd.
We'll talk off the air about that.
Good. To see Todd's wife and his beautiful child. And
yeah, there's a baby in the bar. Normally I would make fun of that on the air, but he happens to look a lot like me, so I won't make fun of the fact that there's a baby. It's a family atmosphere here at Mulligan's.
And, you know, I was just telling Scott earlier today, you guys got a new call screener. You guys have cleaned up the KGYM studios, and now you guys did something that the listeners have been asking for how many years? You guys got a road trip up in Cedar Rapids. I'm very jealous of you
guys. Yeah, and the first response on the text line was, why is that a big deal? As you could only imagine. You got BJ and Marion here tonight. All of your favorite listeners are out and about.
I plan on doing something that I haven't done in some time, and that is come to Cedar Rapids and shake as many hands as possible. And you know what?
You really could run for office here, I think.
Not if Dukes doesn't. I'll if Dukes goes first, I'll go second.
Darren and I was sitting on the text line. It sounds natural for Tyler to be on 4 years. We're appreciating.
Darren, I mean, that's
Kuhn
so
and Mann
cool.
Are good, though, LOL, so you have to go back.
Okay,
it was
cool.
Two separate texts. I wanted to read them separately.
Darren and I, see, man, I'll make you a promise. And to anybody who's listening right now, if you come to Mulligan's in the next, say, 60 to 90 minutes, and you walk up and shake my hand, your first drink is on me. I showed up to Iowa actually with a pocket full of $5 bills. So make sure that your drink of choice is not over $5.
$6.52. We got business to take care of with the big board updates and the whatnot.
I'm out of your hair.
There are some people here that are, I think, here to see you.
I'm out of here.
So you guys were talking about your favorite place to have lunch. Tyler, have you played matchmaker like you did that one time at your favorite location? Do you remember what
dress?
I'm talking about?
You in the white
dress? No.
Yeah, is there a dating corner in Tennessee?
Not yet, because you have to have somebody who actually will go back and forth with you on the air to do that.
I'm actually glad that you reminded me of this.
I kid you not. There are, and I knew you were coming into town. I didn't know you were coming by here tonight, but we're sitting here. We're setting up today. They've got the jukebox going, and you're going to think I'm making this up.
Okay.
And I'm not.
All right.
But one song came on the jukebox at about, it was 2:50, 2:55. I was sitting at the bar. I was eating my lunch, drinking my Diet Coke. Careless Whisper came on the jukebox.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. And I thought, okay. Sometimes the universe just sends you a little bit of a sign. And by the way, I want you to look behind you on the wall there. Do you see what's hanging on the – do you see what's directly across? Do you know what that is?
I know 100% what that is.
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail.
Did you ever get a hold of one?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
And so now I have to come here and I have to stare at it. This is – it's – yeah. Speaking of fate.
I hate to call my shot as I take my headset off, but for those of you out there who don't know – and have never heard the story about what Todd Brommelkamp did for me as a going-away gift, guess what? Target acquired. So keep your eyes out on your mailbox the next couple of weeks. Real quick, before we step aside, because I know you got business to tend to, like a big board update, how is the man cave coming along?
Still unfinished, and probably we'll get to it in about 16 and a half years, would be my guess. Right about the time that he's graduating high school.
All right,
is when the basement will get finished off.
Somebody just showed up. I got to go.
All right. Tyler Ryder. Tyler Ivins. Tyler, you can call him whatever you want to. He's back in town for Iowa State and Tennessee on Saturday at Hilton Coliseum. We're going to step aside, take a quick break. That was an APC reunion for the ages. When we return, we'll get another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Back with more after this.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Right now at Menards, get an 11% rebate on everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
6:56. Welcome back in. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire coming to an end here at Mulligan's Pub in Cedar Rapids, 1060 Old Marion Road. But you can still come in and enjoy half-price wings that started at 6 o'clock. Great happy hour specials. They've got daily specials. As a matter of fact, today is half-price wings. Yesterday it was $2 retro 12-ounce cans all day long. Mulligan's Pub, a great place for the KGYM road trip. We want to thank them for their hospitality tonight. And who knows, we may be back here in the future, but appreciate everybody coming out tonight. And before we say goodbye, we've got to send it back to the KGYM studios on the southwest side of town. Kyle's got your last Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
It was reported today by the Land of 10 Scott Docterman that Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey signed an extension last November, and the details should stop any talk of McCaffrey being fired. A buyout after the season would cost the school $10.2 million, with roughly $1 million decreases through 2023. Iowa junior outfielder Robert Nystrom was pegged as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year by Perfect Game Today. He started all 61 games last season and hit .319 and was top 10 in the Big Ten in five different offensive categories. Perfect Game also named both Nystrom and JUCO transfer Brady Shanuel to the All-Conference team and picked the Hawkeyes to finish third behind Indiana and Nebraska. The UNI men beat Illinois State 83-72 to get back over 500 on the season, led by Isaiah Brown with 20 points and Bennett Cook with 17. They moved to 3-6 in the MVC, four games back with nine games remaining. The Iowa State women went on the road and upset number 19 Oklahoma State 78-69. Down 10 at halftime, Bridget Carlton exploded for 39 points in the comeback victory. The Hawkeye women will be trying to end a three-game skid tonight, hosting number 12 Ohio State. It'll be a matchup between probably the top two candidates for Big Ten Player of the Year, as the Buckeyes' Kelsey Mitchell is the league's leading scorer at almost 25 per game, while Megan Gustafson is second in scoring and first in rebounding. That game's going to tip in just a few minutes. Tonight after the show, we'll have a Pac-12 matchup between Colorado and Arizona. We'll pick up coverage at 7:15. They'll tip at 7:30, and you can hear it on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
KGYM poll question has to do with how you think Tiger Woods will do this weekend at Torrey Pines. Swing on by KGYMradio.com and vote. Kyle just gave you the rundown of what you can hear tonight. Join us tomorrow. We'll be back in the KGYM studios. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be along inside the Big Hour. I think we've got Sean Welsh with us tomorrow inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, but we'll double-check on that. Great show coming for you tomorrow. That much I can promise you. That'll do it. From Mulligan's here in Cedar Rapids. Thanks for listening.
Stu Gatz here for the Black Tux. Everyone wants to look as great as their date at a wedding or special event. Guys, theblacktux.com is your answer. With high-quality rentals.